We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Cool-ass Zoom call was for sure. I met him in person and on Zoom with the Steelers for sure, though.
They Mike always, Tomlin.
Yeah, but they had the whole staff there, like the GM. They had everybody there. Defense staff, they had everybody there. So, like, they was chill.
What did Mike Tomlin have to say? Because he's a pretty cool guy.
It's just the basic questions that were actually get to know you, stuff like that.
Mike Tomlin loves the draft process. I remember being at the owner's meetings a couple of times. He's sitting by the pool. He's got his draft guides out. He's reading up on the guys. He loves that. I'll bet you. I could see you as a Pittsburgh Steeler. I could see you as a Steeler.
Adam Schefter with Najee Harris on his podcast. We've been talking about it today. I bet you I could see you as a Steeler. A little birdie telling Schefter that. It's obviously not a crazy idea to link the Steelers to a running back with the 24th pick when the depth chart right now is Benny Snell, Booger McFarland, and Kalen Ballage. On a Roundtable Tuesday, we've got former Steeler Arthur Motes with us. We also have Kale Berger producing. More on Kale's love life later, developing story there that we've also been talking about today. Here's something I've thought about with why the Steelers might be inclined to reach for a running back with the 24th pick and say the hell with it, even though we know, I think the NFLPA puts this out every year, Arthur, like the average career length by position, and running back is always the shortest. It's always like 2.5 years, I think, might be the number. 2.5 years, I mean, these guys are in and out of the league, even first round picks, more than any other position. I could see the Steelers saying the hell with it. We'll take a running back in the first round for the first time since Mendenhall, which didn't really work out. Because, and I said this to Chris before the show, I think, just like that stupid Antonio Brown streak, what was that, 5 catches, 50 yards in every game?
Yes.
That mattered to AB, but like no one else in the NFL kept track of such a thing. No, like you don't get into the Hall of Fame because you had the longest streak of 5 catches and 50 yards in a game. Like that's not a meaningful statistic. I think the Steelers feel the same way about the, wait for it, non-losing record streak, which is not winning season streak. It's non-losing record streak, which lumps 8-8 seasons in there as something that is, for whatever reason, much more valuable and much more important than if you had lost one more game and somehow gasp finished 7-9. And I think both Tomlin, and to a lesser extent Ben, because he doesn't have the power when it comes to the draft that Tomlin does, I honestly think it's important to them as a franchise that those guys can say, Tomlin specifically can say, I've never had a losing season. I've never had a losing year. And I think that that type of streak is part of their, well, like, we can't suck it up and be 6-11 for one season, or we can't be 5-12. We've got to keep this going because that's all we've ever known. It's 17 straight years without a losing season. And now that the Patriots went 7-9 last year, we've got the longest streak. We're on top. I honestly think that they think that they won't allow themselves to step back and have a bad year in part because of that, Arthur.
No, man, it makes sense. And the roster moves that they've made both in the short term and in the long term have all mirrored that. that 8-8, that never having a losing season, they definitely hold a lot more value in Pittsburgh than I think it does around the league.
I think it's actively damaging to the Steelers. I believe that it matters to Tomlin that he's never had a losing season. I think it is actively harmful. I don't think Mike Tomlin is the kind of guy that has to worry about a losing season putting him on thin ice with the organization.
Because, Chris, you know, don't not, you think as far as
I'm not
as
talking
his,
about the Yahoos in their fan base that think, want him fired after they go 12-4. It actually hurts his ability to field a better team that they have had a couple of 8-8 years and they haven't had a premium pick ever
I know,
in his
but
time.
Selfishly thinking from his perspective.
Oh, he loves it. Well, he loves because, the fact that he's managed it.
Because don't you think for him, I mean, There are plenty of guys that have won Super Bowls. Brian Billick was a Super Bowl winning coach.
He's never been bad. He can say, I've never been bad, and I've had to surmount actual real obstacles at times, especially in 2019, to do it.
Well, that's why I think when his Hall of Fame credentials come up, or Mike Tomlin's legacy, thank you, Lance and Larry, when his legacy comes up, what makes Mike Tomlin, what is the evidence that he's a great coach? I think the non-losing season streak comes up even before the one Super Bowl win. I do. I think that that's...
With who? The people who will actually vote on this?
No, I don't know about that part, but I think, like, on his resume, bullet points for why Mike Tomlin has had a great coaching career, that's number one. No losing seasons. 14 years, no losing seasons.
I mean, that's
actively
speak
harmful
volumes,
to
though.
The business of building a team, though.
It does, but I think my point is, I think he cherishes that. I think you're naive if you don't think that that is something he cares about, and that some decision making, for better or worse, gets made because of that. We can't have a losing season here because I've never had one, and I want to keep that going. And I think Roethlisberger echoes that too. I think Ben, I remember one time. I was in here with interviewing him, and it was after he had some dazzling game where he threw like five or six touchdowns, and Roethlisberger and Ron was fawning. And Ron said to Ben, "What's the thing you're most proud of in your career?" And he said, "I've never had a losing year." He said the same thing.
He has. Now,
I mean,
though.
That is high level, though. It is.
Ben's had one though. Ben started 15
right.
games 1 year and won 7
right.
and 8.
Yes,
he's
had
one.
You love to bring that up, but my point is, if they had a 7-9 season along the way, I do feel like they would have more freedom. In the latitude to
well,
say
then
you
this
know,
is hamstringing them. Then this is a bad thing.
Well, we don't
AB's
know yet.
Streak
it
was
depends.
Mostly when I mean, did AB's little streak come to bite them? It almost bit them in the Jacksonville game the one time where Ben forced him the ball stupidly because everybody knew that was the reason. But otherwise, trying to get that dude the ball pretty much every game as much as possible was good business. Well, what they're holding on to and clinging with this is actively harmful given the way most teams build themselves up. It's actively harmful to them long term.
Well, do you think if they had had a 6-10 instead of an 8-8 year in there, if they had 6-10 in there, do you think that Tomlin would have been more inclined to let Ben walk?
I would hope
he would have been.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I mean, it's one of those things with any streak, right? We talked about this even when the team went 11-0, and we were like, man, they still have flaws. There's certain things that they should be doing differently. The rebuttal was always, well, hey, man, they're 11-0.
Right.
They don't need to do too much.
Yeah, and it's the same thing now. You're right, Arthur. Like, fans will say, don't question their moves. Has he ever had a losing season? Same thing.
It's the exact same. So, to me, I definitely think if they would have had a losing season prior to this, it takes a lot of the pressure off of them from a reputation standpoint. But more so, it would give them the freedom to do certain things. And like you said, right now, they're handcuffed. It is what it is. I mean, it could change this year, though. Unless you go 8-1, this could be the year.
That's why if I were Tomlin, actually, if I were in his shoes, I would have let Ben walk for this reason. I think it would have freed him up this year where the expectations would have been different. And it would have been not exactly like 2 years ago when he had Rudolph and Hodges, and getting to 8-8 was seen as one of his better coaching jobs. I think if he had let Ben walk, if they have a down year, he doesn't have to deal with the brunt of that because expectations get lowered. It's like
very true.
It's like now with Derek Shelton with the Pirates. Nobody really critiques him hard because there are no expectations for that team to win at all. Like, the manager is not in the crosshairs whatsoever.
But is Mike Tomlin really in the crosshairs with the Steelers?
Well,
like, organizationally,
no.
I know every
you're
fan
right, you're right.
bitches and moans
you're
about
right.
him, but he's not in the organization's crosshairs.
I agree with you on that. But you've brought this up before, Chris. By bringing back Ben Roethlisberger and the way that they've spun it, Like, they are making it look like they believe, or they are acting like they can still win that this year.
Yeah, and I'm going to pillory them for it when they don't. Here's a question, though. You say if you were in Mike Tomlin's shoes, this is why you wouldn't have wanted to bring him back. I don't think Mike Tomlin had a ton of agency where if he stomped and pounded the table and said, it's time for Ben to go, we need to turn the page. I don't think Kevin Colbert and Art Rooney would have just rolled over and said, okay, coach, your vision is the vision, is the franchise's vision.
Yep. I agree with you on
that. So I think that's a false equivalence there to say that he could have affected a change in this matter just by sheer force
right.
of will.
Okay, well,
I don't think that's the case.
Okay, well, then let me restate it. I would have, if I were Tomlin, I would have wanted that. I don't know if I could have gotten my way because of what you're saying. You don't own the team, and there's a general manager. And if he disagrees with you, and the owner, you know, obviously the owner trumps all, but for example, if they were divided on it, they both can't go into Rooney's office and try to, you know, tag team him and say, right. Art, this is what we need to do. Okay, let's not be nostalgic or emotional. So that's what I mean. If I were in Tomlin's shoes, I would have looked at it like, you know what? I went 8-8 with Duck and Mason. If I bring Ben back, it creates the illusion that we're still in it to win it when we're really not. I mean, Arthur, you've talked about this. The whole entire offseason has been half measures.
Mm-hmm.
It's been add this.
With the hope of we're going to take less than what we had last year, but somehow, some way, get more out of this thing. Make it make sense. I can't do it.
And think about what it's doing here. It is putting so much pressure on them to ace the draft. Like, if they have a draft,
not just ace it, like 1974 ace it.
I don't know
right,
about
like
I don't
home
know,
run status.
I don't know quite like that, Chris, but
I thought they did pretty well with last year's draft. Like, Claypool, instant impact. Highsmith stepped in and was able to, like, fill in capably, if not spectacularly, for Dupree. And I think Dotson, they feel like, could be a 5-6 year starter at guard.
Yeah, they did a good job.
They have to do better than
that.
Yeah,
because they have to cover up for more losses. The last time they had a first round pick, a second round pick, and a third round pick, so they had all three of their top three picks in every round. The last time that happened was not 2020, 2019. It was 2018. And their first pick, second pick, and third pick went like this: Terrell Edmonds, James Washington, and Mason Rudolph. If they have that type of draft this year with their top three picks, those positions, not safety, wide receiver, quarterback. But if that's the first year production from their top three picks, they're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
They need this running back that they either pick up in the first or second round. He needs to hit the ground running. There can't be growing pains or will ease you in. They are setting it up for him to need to be almost great, very good.
Because think about this. Even with L. Bell and James Conner, neither one of them were dominant that first year that they got here. It took them a year or two. And then you start to see that flash and start to see the consistency element of it. But that's asking a lot. And they're going to be doing it behind the O-line that's more makeshift than anything.
Right. Well, unless they put together a draft where they find the offensive line starter in the second round, the center starter in the second round, and it's just –
Well, I also like how we always just say, oh, if not the first, to get him in the second round. Well, I done heard y'all say corner in the second round. We done heard you say running back,
right.
Center, left tackle, inside linebacker. I mean, how many picks we got in these first two rounds?
How many positions would you guys say right now there is not a clear-cut solid starter at the 22, 11 offensive and 11 defensive positions where there's not someone that you say, yup, not only is this guy going to start, but you can count on him to be good.
Oh, boy. Inside linebacker next to Devin Bush.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Running back, there's two.
Alu alleviated one that would have been, I guess, technically an issue. I'm still saying if you need three starting cornerbacks, I don't feel like they have three for sure, so I'll say one there.
But let's
running back is another one.
Yep, that's
I don't think they have an. I don't think they have the kind of tight end they actually want. They have a glorified wide receiver.
Yeah,
in
but
Eric
I'm going to leave
Ebron.
That off the list because
fine, center.
Okay, there's four
and left tackle
five
at least.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
That's what you're banking on, DeCastro coming back being healthy, and Dotson being able to be the 17-game starter.
Right. That's a very good point. You are banking on certain things. You're also banking on Highsmith to be good for 17 games.
Yes, absolutely.
That's just five positions. And Banner. That's correct. Exactly. So that's banking. That's saying you have five positions that are definite needs. And that doesn't even count for the three or four other ones.
Or the people that don't believe in Terrell Edmunds still.
Right.
That's another spot that people are, he's a bust, he's not a bust.
And I would either say way. I'm among those people.
You know what else, either way, that's another position then.
You know what else you have a question? Because you don't know exactly what you're going to get from this player. You ever heard of the quarterback position? There's a question mark there.
That's low-hanging fruit. We're not taking the low-hanging fruit today.
What is the most common low-hanging fruit, Cal? What is the fruit that is the lowest out there? I guess it would be a fruit that grows, like, not from a tree, right? It would
low.
Be
low.
Well, yeah, but what would so
if it's not growing from a tree,
so
how can it be hanging? If it's on a plant,
well,
how is it a hanging fruit?
Strawberries are very low hanging fruit. You ever go strawberry picking? You're on your hands and knees picking at strawberries.
I would say,
but is it off of a tree or is it a plant?
It's a plant. So if you
then it's not low hanging fruit. It's just grow like you don't say low hanging tomatoes.
I would say tomatoes would have been my answer.
So you're now going to be a stickler and a technical guy and say tomatoes a fruit just to be that guy. That's what you're doing.
But
here.
It is. That's what I've been told my entire life.
You already did that earlier, Mr. Miso Salmon. Come on, man.
If we're strictly saying stuff on trees, I'm going to say orange. Oranges are low-hanging fruit.
You might have some. How about apples? You've got your orchard and things of that nature.
Right? Yeah.
What does a banana tree look like?
It's way too tall.
So really,
like
people probably think
bananas.
Of... So
I don't think I've ever seen one of those
think
in
of
my
bananas.
Entire life.
I agree. Kale, I don't think I've seen one either.
Arthur, don't you think of bananas, though, when you think of low-hanging fruit? I just think of there's a banana. It's easy to grab. And now as I look at it, you got to climb up a tree.
Just
I was about to say, I thought monkeys are high up in trees. Yeah.
That's why they're associated with bananas, because they're the only ones that can get there.
That's why they're the ones associated with bananas.
Among other reasons, but mainly that.
My dogs won't eat bananas. And I don't even know if it's
mine have started
for
to
them,
reject
but they're
it.
Not a fan.
No, there's a ton of banana-flavored treats. It's supposed to be a flavor that they like.
Oh. Learn something new. I've never tried banana with my
mine,
dogs.
Mine, like, snort at it. How about Lance grabbed a little, like, chocolate fiber brownie from Lennox yesterday?
Oh, that's
and, you
a
know,
no,
dogs
no, that's
aren't
poison.
Supposed to eat. How about this, though? I saw him take it out of Lennox's hand, and, you know, I'm like, fuming at that point. He takes two attempted bites of it. And then in an unbelievably commendable move, drops it and doesn't want anything to do with it.
That's the honor code right there, man. That's a good character
he
dog
knew.
Right there.
He knew. No, he's a terrible character dog. Oh, my God, Arthur.
No,
he's the worst behaved. He is an absolute little snot.
Anybody can make the right decision when eyes are on them. He didn't know you were watching. He didn't know. That's character right there.
That's first round grade right there.
Yes.
This dog has a nonstop motor, folks.
Grapes.
Deceptively fast.
I'll tell you what.
Great locker room guy.
Grapes do
it's
a number of dogs,
guy.
Too. Never give a dog a grape.
Oh, they're poison. They're poison.
Yeah.
They're the worst one of all.
Them. Yeah.
Which, it's so crazy. Dogs' digestive systems, they can eat poop, but they can't eat a grape?
But I think they could
probably
eat...
look at this and say the same thing. These humans, they can eat grapes.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, can't do you just think eat if your fecal? Like, what are you doing?
Arthur, do you think if aliens ever came to Earth, they would wonder if the dogs were in charge of the people
All
because
right,
the dogs are pulling
someone.
The people?
You saw that
no,
online
I did.
Somewhere.
I did.
And you just tried to pass it off as your own there. You didn't
no,
even
I
say,
definitely
I saw this online.
Did.
Yeah, what South Park episode is that?
No, I think that's like a it's like a Stephen Wright bit, the comedian, not the Pirates knuckleballer.
But wait a minute. That's true to Mosey, though. We know he will steal your material. He's not going to give you
100%.
Any credit. He's going to take it like that's his.
They would come down and say, why does this guy keep talking during this dog's radio show?
Yeah, the dogs are chiming in, and you're droning on and on and on.
Man, that's a harsh burn right there from Arthur, saying it's right on brand for me to steal without attribution. That's kind of harsh in the light of day here.
Follow
I love
us.
The consistency, though. It's all about consistency.
That's right. You do know what you're going to get from Mueller on a day-in, day-out basis with the show. He's going to slander Roethlisberger. He's going to steal somebody else's material and not
there's
give
gonna
them
There's going to be
credit.
Some self-loathing in
dogs
there.
Dogs are going to go berserk in the background, and there's nothing he can do about it.
He's going to mansplain intermittent fasting.
That's right.
Wait, how other than the fact that I am a man, is intermittent fasting something that can even be mansplained?
Dr. Mueller, nutritionist, is going to come out.
It's in the tone, Chris.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Sharkey, Kia Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.